Kathy does not know how special she is. She thinks that it's just another thing, but to us, she means a lot to us. I cannot stop telling people of who she is and how we got here, and it was all because of her.
But it just seems like part of what you're supposed to do. You see the need and you address it and try and make it better, and the restoring hope and freedom.
Welcome to Rehabilitation Ships, a new podcast from Mary Freebed Rehabilitation, bringing you real stories of recovery from real patients and real clinicians.
Welcome to Rehabilitation Ships, a podcast highlighting the intersection of rehabilitation and relationships. I'm your host, Chris Mills. This is the second installment of a two-part story looking at nursing and rehabilitation. And if you missed the first part, jump back in your feed and give it a listen. To recap, though, this is a story of Annie Kango and Kathy Fetting, two nurses who met following a devastating super typhoon. Annie's from Saipan, a small island in the Pacific Ocean. In 2018, a super typhoon destroyed Annie's home, forcing her family to flee to a shelter. That was including her eldest son, Bradley, who uses a wheelchair due to a spinal cord injury from a car crash. Kathy is a nurse at Mary Freebed, who also volunteers with the American Red Cross. She went over to Saipan shortly after the typhoon to help with the disaster relief efforts. There she met and quickly bonded with Annie and her family. When she saw Bradley, she knew that he could really benefit from rehabilitation at Mary Freebed. And that's where we pick up the story. Annie has left Saipan to return home to the States and started looking for a way to bring Bradley and Annie over to Mary Freebed. So on this International Nurses Day, we will learn about what makes a nurse give and why nursing is more than a career, it's a calling. And now, here's this episode of Rehabilitation Ships.
And once I came back here to work, that's when I started putting out feelers here. I think I talked to one of our nurse techs up on spinal cord, and I said to him, "Do you think there's any way to get somebody brought here from that far away?" And he said, "Oh, talk to Dr. Wheaton. He just brought someone from, I believe it was Ecuador. And Ecuador's not even an American territory, so maybe this is possible." So I tracked down Dr. Wheaton, who connected me with Holly Baninga, who'd gone with him on that trip. And with his assistance and Holly's, things started to move, and I got a hold of Annie. And before I could say anything, she said, "Guess what? FEMA's offering to move us wherever we want to go." And I said, "Well, let me tell you what I'm thinking." And Holly talked to her, and between the three of us, it
happened.
What was that like to get that? Was it a call or an email? Did somebody come in? Because you're still at the shelter at this point.
It was a call, and they asked us whether we wanted to take part of their relocation program. And I said, "Yeah, well, tell me more about this relocation." They said they can fly us anywhere in the U.S., any state we choose. They'll pay for our tickets and our baggage. But the lodging, when we get to that state, will be on us. So I told Bradley's father that we were leaving. And it was just a shock. Nobody knew. I just did it on my own. I just made the decision. I said, "Great, this will be a good thing for Bradley. If we were to move to Michigan, then he can come to rehabilitation." I think it was a blessing. Like, that was the call that we needed.
So you had to have some place to go. You had to have lodging when you came here to Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And how did Kathy help with that?
I told Kathy, and she, in the decision making before I made my decision to come here, she was telling me, she's like, "Come to Michigan." And this was my exact words, like, "I'm scared. I don't want to go there and become homeless." And then she said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you." And she really did. She got in contact with Holly, fixed everything, like the wheelchair access, the transportation. We stayed over at the inn, and even after my son got admitted, we were still there. And they even extended it because we were only supposed to stay there for about two weeks, but we ended up staying there for about a month.
So you literally flew from Saipan straight to Grand Rapids, and then Bradley went straight to Mary Freebet.
Yeah, we flew from Saipan to Grand Rapids. Mary Freebet picked us up at the airport, brought us here straight to the inn, and then to about 4 days later, we got in on the 7th, and then Bradley got admitted on the 12th. So it was pretty quick.
Well, they arrived in the midst of the beginning of the polar vortex.
Oh, I remember that.
So they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm thinking, oh, they're coming from Saipan. It's like they're going to die. I was scrounging everywhere to find coats for them and make sure that they actually stayed warm enough. And it just kept getting colder and colder. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's like Annie's going to say, why the hell did you decide to tell me to move to Michigan? You know, it was 85 with 90% humidity when I left 2 days ago, and now it's like 3 degrees above zero and a wind chill of negative 10. And they stayed.
I remember getting out of the airplane, and I was talking and telling Fuani something, and I started seeing smoke coming out of my mouth. As we were exiting the door, we were, I think, in Denver. And I'm like, oh, there's smoke coming out of my mouth. And the stewardess just laughed. Well, that's Denver for you. that's winter. And I've only seen it on TV, not actually. The only time we would experience it if we stick our head into the freezer. So when we came out, she had a trash bag full of coats and coats and boots just to keep us warm.
I learned through Red Cross there are ways to circumvent TSA and having a boarding pass. And Gerald Ford Airport was wonderful. I went and talked to them the day before, actually, and I said, here's the story. I work at Mary Freebed. I have a family with someone with medically complex needs that are flying in from Saipan to be admitted to Mary Freebed. I said, I need to meet them at the gate because this is a 24-hour experience for this young man. And they said, oh, certainly. Just go to TSA, tell them, and they'll let you through. Then wore my scrubs and showed up, and they were so accommodating. I mean, yeah, I looked like Santa Claus because I had to take all the winter garb.
This is Rehabilitation Ships, a podcast featuring real patients, real clinicians, and real stories of recovery. How can a rehabilitation hospital like Mary Freebed help a spinal cord injury patient so many months or years later? What does the team do?
He hadn't had anyone showing him what he was capable of. He was treated more, and not by Annie and family by any means, but just by the general attitude, mm-hmm. prevalent attitude that, oh, you're disabled now, so you should just stay in a room somewhere else.
Talking about what he can't do.
Mm-hmm. And there were definitely some medical issues going on with the autonomic dysreflexia that hadn't ever been addressed. And that was very prevalent from the minute he got here. And that was addressed the first day of him being admitted here. He was over at St. Mary's getting more help. Then he went through 3 weeks, PT, OT, everything, seeing what he was able to do that he had learned to do on his own without anybody actually educating him or showing him, and building on the abilities that he had, and hopefully opening new doors for him. And it's hard to remove some of that feeling that he still had of, I was just a kid, my life was over, no one wanted to see me once I was like this, and trying to nudge him back out into, yeah, look what you can do now that you're here. You can do anything. Holly, she walked them over from the inn the day that Bradley saw Dr. Wheaton in clinic. And she said the look on Bradley's face when they wheeled into the waiting room and all the other people in wheelchairs and somebody zipping around in their electric wheelchair. And she said, you should have seen his eyes, because he never had seen anything like that. And And we walk into work here and it's like, oh, this just, it's Mary Freebed. Yeah, it's normal.
So what kind of changes did you see in Bradley physically and emotionally after this?
Physically, he was able to do a lot of things on his own. Because back in Saipan, I actually had to give him some tough love. I said, I cannot cater to you, or I cannot, you know, baby you and do all these things for you. I said, you can learn how to change your own breathe. You can learn how to feed yourself. You can learn how to dress yourself. And he was never taught that with physical therapy back home, because they only send out physical therapy and home care nurse. That's it. But he did not have OT. They did not try to see whether, you know, he can brush his own teeth. It was actually me pushing him and telling him, I said, just because you can't walk doesn't mean you can't do all this other stuff. And I tried so hard. And I told him, I said, you might hate me now, but you're going to thank me later, because I gave him tough love.
And so he learned a lot more of this.
Yes.
When he came here to Mary
Freebed. He was able to change his own breath before we got here to Mary Freebed. But Mary Freebed actually helped him a lot with his upper body strength. Like now, after being here at Mary Freebed, he's able to bump transfer himself from the bed to the wheelchair, and to the wheelchair, to the commode, into the bathtub, out of the bathtub. So he's done a lot. Like, he can cook. If we put everything out there for him, he can do a lot for himself.
All of our patients here, even if they aren't on spinal cord, are assessed for the need for a bowel program, mm-hmm. and a bladder program. And he'd never had that, and he was having almost chronic issues because of his blood pressure fluctuating so much, because he could not empty his bladder.
Because it was never taught back home. So Mary Freebed gave him all those. They gave him his devices, what he needed. They educated him on what he needed to do, why it was important for him to do it.
And stuff we don't like to talk about, but is really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Till now, I'm still educating him, because he's a stubborn child. So he's not on his bowel program times. No, he's slacking. So I told him, I said, you need to get back on it, because it's really important, because you're going to end up in the hospital again, because it's causing so much issues. So I still constantly push it.
So you were at Mary Freebed for 3-4 weeks. Then what happened after that? Where did you guys go?
Kathy helped us and got an apartment for us right downtown, which is just like a walking distance to here. She really went out of her way and got us that apartment. Because I just started working on the 18th of February, but we moved into our apartment on the 15th of February of 2019. And it was all because of Kathy. She helped me with applications, where she's the one that was looking for it, because I didn't know anything. I'm like, I don't know where to start. She made it all possible.
And where did you start working at first?
Mary Freebed.
That's pretty cool. Why did you want to work at Mary Freebed?
It was I spent like one whole day here, just in Bradley's room when he was admitted. And I saw the group of nurse and nurse tech working with him. I'm like, this is like, I like how he's being taken care of. I want to be able to provide the same care to other people. I said, I'm going to try it out. And she even pushed me. She's like, you never know unless you try. So I did. She told me where to go. I applied. And when I first started, I started off as a sitter, because I had no professional medical background to back me up, besides, you know, taking care of my mom and Bradley at home. But I knew, like, some stuff. So I worked as a sitter for about 2 months, and then I said, I can't do a sitter position. I cannot just sit back and not do anything and, you know, not touch the patient. So I asked if I can transition over to being a nurse tech. They said they needed recommendations, which everybody that I've worked with recommended. I that I would be a good nurse tech. So that started everything.
And it seemed like you were already kind of being a nurse tech when you were back home, when you were in that shelter.
Yeah.
You were caring for all those other people there who needed it.
I didn't care who they are, who they were, or what sickness they had. I was doing my part as helping.
Kathy, could you have seen that back then when you were there? Did you look at Annie and think, oh, she could do this. She could be a nurse.
I don't think I was focused on that at all. I was in my Mary Freebed nurse mode and looking at Bradley and thinking, this is so awful that not everybody has the opportunity to come here and get what we provide. And that was my blinders on, goal-driven. That
she was focused on Bradley, and that was the main thing.
But then once they got here and he was situated, and I thought she would be perfect.
You're listening to Rehabilitation Chips, a podcast from Mary Freebed Rehabilitation. I'm Chris Mills, and I'm your host. This is the second of a two-part story looking at nursing and rehabilitation. If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and tell a friend about it. Now let's get back to the story as Annie begins to work at Mary Freebed as a nurse tech.
So we've been here in Grand Rapids for 3 years, and I've been working here for Mary Freebed for 3 years.
What do you think of Grand Rapids in the West Michigan area? Is this your home now, or do you ever see going back home?
We've made Michigan our home. I just got a property, so they're building my house in October. So we plan on staying.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has the rest of the family adapted to living here? It sounds like Bradley's getting more and more independent. We talked about the breakfast this morning. How is the rest of the family doing?
They're doing pretty good. My daughter has moved out of Michigan, and she's in Oklahoma. She's enjoying herself. She's a teenager. So Bradley's father's working for Mary Freebed as well. So he likes it here. It's just hard because he's away from his family. Of course, my six-year-old thinks he's from Michigan. When you ask him, are you an island boy? He said, no, I'm a Michigan boy. And he calls Kathy and Tom grandma and grandpa.
That's got to feel really good. I mean, what do you think, Kathy, looking back at this whole story, seeing being your Red Cross self and keeping an eye on the storms, that we're here now and you have another Mary Freebed employee here who's an island girl? How does that make you feel looking at this whole story?
I'm very happy that I was able to help not only Bradley, but Annie, but it just seems like part of what you're supposed to do. It's not that it's anything above and beyond. You see the need and you address it and try and make it better. And it doesn't seem like it's been
three years. No.
And so it's really been almost 3.5 exactly since I landed in Saipan.
So it doesn't feel like anything extra special. This is just normal life and normal job for you.
It's like the restoring hope and freedom. They were in a very bad situation because their house was destroyed, and Bradley would not have the ability to do much.
See, Kathy does not know how special she is. She doesn't. She thinks that it's just another thing, but to us, she means a lot to us. Like, I cannot stop telling people of who she is and how we got here, and it was all because of her. She means a lot to us. I'm getting teary-eyed just talking about it.
You probably have told her that too, right?
Yeah, and she's like, I'm not special. No, you are. You just don't see how special you are to us.
I think a lot of people live their life as a person and then they have a job. But I feel like nurses, it's so intertwined. Why do you think Kathy makes a good nurse?
Kathy goes beyond what you're supposed to do. Like, she puts her heart into it. And there are a lot of people that do that, but it's very rare you come across someone like her. Like, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know me. She never knew me even before meeting Bradley. But it's like, when we met, we just clicked. And I've never had the opportunity to, like, work with her as a nurse tech and a nurse, to actually work with her on the floor. But I've seen her work with my son. And I've seen how my son reacted to her. Yeah.
Thank you.
We love you.
What about you, Kathy? I know you said you were focused on Bradley when you were there, but getting to know Annie more, what about her makes her a good nurse?
Seeing all that she had, and I knew she was taking care of Bradley on Saipan, but once she was here and we could really start to talk, knowing everything she had had to do, I mean, there were no Hoyer lifts, so she lifted him in and out of a bathtub, and I'm thinking, I would still be down on the floor like, help. And just the physical aspect of that, and then the emotional aspect, because her daughter had just moved into her first apartment and it was destroyed in the typhoon as well. So she was back in. You've lost everything you own. And JD was only 2. So just having your hands full in so many different ways. And I'd been through a house fire, which was nothing compared to what she was going through. And she was just calm, did what had to be done. And when she came here and was telling me the other people she had taken care of, and then started working, obviously, our sitter shifts, a lot of those are with our brain injury patients. And I think it takes a very special person to work with that population, to really understand how to keep them calm and focused and not agitate. When Annie would tell me stories about her first few days, and she goes, oh, well, I did this and I did that and said this and that. And I was like, you're a pro. I was like, I've worked here for years, and it's like, you handled that far better than I would have. That area is not my forte.
I've been called the brain whisperer.
And it just was natural for her. But it's like with other nursing, I mean, some people love OB, some people love rehab. We all have our little niche, and she was just made for that job.
And it sounds like she is made for the nurse tech job. And I think some people listen to this might not know the difference between an RN, a nurse tech, or all those different levels, but it's maybe not a glamorous job.
No, it's not.
Being a nurse tech, but people have asked you if you want to, you know, train and become a registered nurse, an RN, but you don't. Why?
I don't, because I like being more hands-on with my patients. The nurses, a lot of them don't have time because they have to go from one room to another, which is the same for me, but I make sure I take my time in my patient's room, because I like for my patient to get to know me and trust me and, you know, trust the care that I'm giving to them. Like, don't worry, you're okay, because a lot of them, it's their first time, and they're scared, confused of where they're at. So I think I just go in there and calm them down and try to make them feel safe and say, you're okay in my hands. You have nothing to worry about.
Why does she, I mean, I feel like I've asked this already, but what makes a good nurse tech?
Somebody who makes themselves available to their patients and lets their patient know that they're there for them, they will help them, they aren't going to ignore their needs, and that they're good at their job, that they're there to listen, they're there to hold their hand, they're there to hug them when they cry, and that if they have an accident, that's just part of the job. It's what we do. And once the patient can truly see that there's that compassion there on the part of their tech, that There's no judgment. We're all human. You can't control certain things. And just having that, a good tech, you can see that caring attitude from when they walk into the patient's door, and they know how to put them at ease.
We're in an interesting day, COVID, and the Great Resignation. People are leaving their jobs, and people are leaving healthcare and nursing. To someone listening to this story who might not know what they want to do with their life, or maybe thinking about a change, why should they think of nursing? And I want to ask both of you this.
Doing what I'm doing, I take part in a person's life. Like, I'm making a difference. I'm helping them get back to normal living, which maybe before all this, they couldn't dress themselves. They couldn't, you know. After working here, I don't know how to put this, but just seeing the struggle they go to try to put on a shirt is heartbreaking. And seeing what physical therapy and OT does, it really makes a big difference. And I get teary-eyed every time I talk about it because it breaks my heart. I work in a place where, you know, you see the struggles the patient go through. Like, they can't even feed themselves. Going home, I'm complaining about simple things like pick up your socks or something, and for a patient can't even open their hands. And just being a nurse and taking part of their life and being a part of their journey, their recovery journey, is really, it's a good feeling. It hits the heart and say, I was a part of that. I was a part of that patient's life. And I know I made a difference in their life. It might just be my attitude coming in. Hey, you know, it might brighten their night. And I took a part in making them happy, even for just 1 second.
Kathy, why should someone get into nursing? And nursing, it seems, and beyond, has been your life. Why should someone sign up, take a class, go to school, make the change, whatever it is, to be a nurse?
It's a job where you get to be on a journey with a patient through sometimes the best moment of their life. If it's a mom, new mom, you get to be there as their baby's born. There's no greater feeling. Might be the worst day of their life. They find out they have cancer. But you get that privilege of being included in that very intimate inner circle. You should feel honored to get to experience that, and you help people transition from not being able to do something to walking out of Mary Freebed. Patients who come in and you think, oh, it's like, no, they're not going to walk, and they walk out the door. And there's other times you have patients who, you know, you're with them as they're transitioning to the end of life. And in no other job do you get to have that honor and share that with hundreds of thousands of different people over the course of your lifetime.
What a great conclusion to our story. If you enjoyed this story about Annie and Kathy and you want to learn more about them or nursing at Mary Freebed, click the link in the show notes for photos and a local media story interviewing the two friends. Thank you for listening to Rehabilitation Ships, a podcast from Mary Freebed Rehabilitation. Every month, we'll share amazing stories just like this, highlighting the intersection of rehabilitation and relationships. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback as we launch this show. Send us your thoughts at podcast@maryfreebed.com. If you want to change a life like Kathy and Annie have, and change yours as well, think about becoming a nurse at Mary Freebed. We are looking for nursing staff who bring hope, love, and inspiration to patients and each other. Find out more by visiting maryfreebed.com/nursing. And with that, I'm Chris Mills, your host for Rehabilitation Chips. And until next time, thanks for listening and stay well.